You know, yeah. I am feeling so good today. I want to go to a mental hospital. Yeah, like-
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I don't know if you can hear it right now, if my mic is picking it up, but it's raining really, really hard in Los Angeles. And I think this is maybe one of the first times I've done anything involving mentally chill while it's also been raining. And so finally, doing the show in Los Angeles feels appropriate because normally I, in my imagination, see all these happy with it together people in Santa Monica going to get kale juice in the morning and then going to run the stairs and then posting a really pretty picture on Instagram of the sunset. But right now, none of that is happening, which makes me so happy because it is dreary as dreary can be. It's only like 10 in the morning, but it looks like it's like 8 p.m. at night, and I love it. It feels so good. So welcome to the show. Want to let you guys know, I'm probably going to start doing this new segment. Well, not probably, because I am going to do it right now, actually. I'm going to do a new segment every great while, not often, called Mentally Chill's Got Talent, because I've realized now from getting to know a lot of the listeners that everyone has so much talent and so much to offer. And I'm not, you know, I'm not an optimistic person. I'm not being optimistic about so many of you guys. I'm just being realistic. And you guys are good at a lot of things. So I want to profile a listener every now and then. And today I'm going to profile Alonzo. You guys may have heard me talk about him before. Usually I refer to him as Superfan Alonzo, but now I feel like we're friends, Alonzo, right? We're friends. So Alonzo is an amazing dancer. He moves just like MJ, Michael Jackson. And just to be clear, the living version of Michael, not the current version. And I've realized now, so Alonzo has his name as Alonzo Jackson on his Instagram, but that's not his real name. He's quite tricky, that Alonzo. It's because of the Jackson thing, obviously. I am a genius. Oh, again, reminder, if you guys want me to reveal my SAT scores on Patreon, need to get to 200 donors. I'm at like 108 right now. So you do the math on how many more that means I need. So anyway, back to Alonzo. He is so good at dancing. And the reason I want to do this segment is because I want to push people into doing what they should be doing. And Alonzo should be dancing for a living. And he's so good that it's almost frustrating to me or enraging because I wish I had that talent. And if I had that talent, I mean, I can dance a little, but not nearly as good as Alonzo. And if I had his talent, I would be doing a lot with it. So I said to Alonzo, put this on YouTube. Like, why are you not promoting this? Or, you know, eventually maybe you should teach it or go on America's Got Talent. But he's made it to Mentally Chill's Got Talent. So he is going places, folks. He is going places. So I want you to follow him on Instagram and check out how good he is and encourage him to put his stuff on YouTube and to believe in himself. So you can find him on Instagram at Alonzo. That's E-U-L-O-N-Z-O. He's just claimed Alonzo. It's like he's like Oprah or Madonna at this point. So Alonzo, I know you have the confidence because you picked the name Alonzo straight up for your Instagram. That means you're feeling yourself. So yeah, follow him and do that. And that concludes today's Mentally Chill's Got Talent. A little bit about today's show. I have Shay Savage on. Shay has had so many experiences and can speak on so many things, including autism, checking herself into a mental hospital, her experience with a planned suicide attempt, learning she might have bipolar disorder, definitely depression. So this is obviously going to be an incredibly fun, lighthearted episode. Really, you should get your kids in the room if they're not there, preferably ones under the age of 8, I think, are best suited for this episode. Just kidding. But I'm really glad that Shay's here because she's talking about a lot of things that I've been really, really wanting to get to for a while. But before we do that, of course, I want to give a quick shout out to my one hero this week, my new Patreon peep, Edward A. Thanks, Edward A. You're a true hero. I picture you wearing a cape. Not, well, not because you're a hero, but just because you're a weird dude in a cape. Just kidding. Thanks for becoming part of the Patreon community. And if you guys want to support the show, you are more than welcome to do so. Please go to patreon.com/mentallychill. But enough about that. On to today's show.
Okay, so hey, Shay.
Hey.
We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Because you had said there is stuff about bipolar you can talk on. There's stuff about autism. There's stuff about being in mental hospitals. All things that I've been wanting to get to. But it's hard. It's like there's no database that I can go to of like people that are in mental hospitals that want to come on podcasts.
Just type it in on Google. Like, hey, who wants to talk about it?
Yeah. But then also like, are they going to be good at the podcast? You know, so it's so hard to find specific things that you want to have on the show. And it's almost like I have to wait for them to come to me. So I'm glad that you mentioned that you wanted to talk about it and come on the show.
Yeah, because it's not something that's always talked about. And if it is, it's always kind of stigmatized or just talked about. You'd think it'd be like Girl Interrupted or, you know, Cuckoo's Nest. So
right. Not that I necessarily picture Girl Interrupted, but I...
Cause that is a little like, dated, okay.
Well, no, it's. I mean, it's not that it's dated. It's actually kind of like a cool image because of Angelina Jolie, like, being a badass.
Yeah,
like, the reason I say I don't really totally picture it like that is because actually on the episode that came out last week, my guest, Rye, he said life isn't a movie and it's, like, disappointing that it's not. So that's why I don't picture mental hospitals like that, because that's too cool. It's too, like, cool and weird rather than just, like, weird and dull, because that's how I actually picture them, to just be, like, weird but also very dull and, like, ordinary.
Yeah.
And is that what it's like?
Yeah. It really was. People there – okay, so because where I stayed, it was – a hospital outside of Boston, and the people there mainly were just pretty depressed. Some of them had really severe anxiety. You know, I was expecting when I got admitted, like, I was terrified. It was just, it was a rough day, of course, you know?
Yeah, you don't usually go on the good days. You know, I am feeling so good today. I want to go to a mental hospital.
Yeah, like a little retreat, a meditation retreat. No.
But that's what it can kind of be like, I've heard, also.
In a way. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Someone in there had mentioned that. They're like, you know, celebrities go on retreats all the time. Like, why can't I do it?
Right.
It's like, okay, sure. That's not why we're really here, though. Like, I remember, I think it was my first day there. I was only there for 72 hours.
Okay.
But my first day there, I'm in there in the common room, which is basically, I don't know what you'd expect it to be. It's normal size room. There's like a long table, a little TV that's always playing stuff.
Are there checkers?
Checkers is a possibility. There were a lot of board games. Chutes and Ladders was...
Was there Chutes and Ladders?
Oh, yeah. I played Chutes and Ladders.
Oh, my God. The thing is, it doesn't sound that terrible. If you need a break...
No, it wasn't that terrible. Yeah. And one of the guys had asked me, he said, so, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, and like, what are you in for, like, if you're in prison?
Yeah, and I was like, I'm just... depressed, you know. I didn't really want to go into it.
Yeah,
he's like, well, you're not just depressed, like, we're all fucked up here, like, what's your story?
Yeah.
And so that was...
Did you tell him what your story was?
No, because I was so zombie like I was on a lot of Prozac at the time, and that's why I had to be admitted, because I felt dead inside. Like, I was like, okay, so dissociation can be pretty real, and I was experiencing that hardcore, like,
real in bipolar.
Okay, yeah, so the bipolar thing is weird because that's a new thing for me. I only recently kind of got that diagnosis, and it's still sort of up in the air.
Yeah,
because it's the psychiatrist, but she's like, I think you have bipolar too, but, you know, she's taking her time with it, which is something really good.
And the difference between bipolar 1 and bipolar 2 is what?
The main difference is just the type of mania. Bipolar 1 is the really extreme highs where it's considered manic, and you have the really extreme lows of depression, but the manic is a lot more
fun.
Not necessarily. It can be. You can be like, I'm the queen of the world and I'm gonna go on a shopping spree, and you could literally think you are a queen, because you can actually have like psychotic episodes and
you know
delusions.
It would be cool if credit card companies took into account that you have bipolar, and you're like, no, I didn't mean to spend all this money.
Yeah.
And then either the credit card company could not charge you interest on it because of your mental health, or just erase the charge in general, which is such a bad idea. But
yeah, like or in a fantasy land
where people wouldn't abuse it,
yeah,
it would be amazing.
Yeah, so bipolar 2 is different because I would experience what is considered hypomania, which is just less than mania. I think that might literally be what it is, or like the definition. English.
I think Catherine Zeta-Jones is too.
Yeah, yeah. I think you mentioned that.
I think right when we first started doing the podcast, because when she talked about it, I read it. This was way, way, way before we started doing the podcast, but I was kind of fascinated with it because I don't think anyone had really come out talking about being bipolar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of the movie Chicago.
Okay.
And
I feel it.
And she was so good in it that I just, you know, that fascinated me a little bit. And so, yeah, I remember talking about it a long time ago. But it seems like bipolar 2 mania, it's like you get less done, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So would you prefer, this is like a would you rather, which I forgot. I actually haven't been doing would you rathers. Would you rather be bipolar 1 or bipolar 2?
2.
Okay. Because, I mean, bipolar 1 does sound way worse.
Yeah.
Because it seems like.
Maybe I'm saying that because I haven't experienced it.
But. Yeah. It just, you know, like obviously it's like up and crash and up and crash versus you're like up and a little bit of a crash and a little bit of an up and a little bit of a crash.
Not quite.
Okay.
It's a little bit of an up, but a definite crash.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So you the still depression have the... aspect can be about the same.
I see. Okay.
And people with bipolar 1 typically are hospitalized more because their hypomanic episodes can be. They're not hypomanic. I'm sorry. That was completely wrong. Their manic episodes can be so extreme. Like it can be actual like dangerous things that you're doing because you're not taking into consideration
the risks involved. Yeah.
Yeah. But for me, like if I'm hypomanic and this is still if the psychiatrist is right and this is actually what I have, I'm just a lot more on edge. Like my anxiety is really real. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's something that cued her into it because I've always thought I had generalized anxiety disorder because I'm just basically always anxious and kind of afraid of things. And
what does your anxiousness feel like?
Well, that's the thing. It's really physical for me. Like one thing that a lot of people notice is my pupils. They're
really
like if you look at me, they're probably like
they're large. They're, no, I can see they're very huge. Large.
I look like I'm tripping on something all the time or like I'm possessed or some
or
shit.
Or you just look like a cute cartoon character.
I like that
anime.
No one has ever said that. Someone mentioned to me.
Well, I've heard the bigger your pupils, the more friendly you appear. And you appear super duper friendly.
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
It's a defense mechanism.
Yeah. You're like, I'm really a bitch.
Like, I gotta be cute so that no one murders me.
Right. But no, but it, you do look really friendly. And I think that might be
I like that.
Helping with it.
No,
but
so,
I mean, obviously you prefer
to. I mentioned the people thing to someone and they talked about Belladonna. Do you know?
No.
Okay. Okay, it has to do with porn.
And
so someone told me,
I mean,
they
yes,
were
I
like,
totally
yeah, you
her.
Look like her. And I was like, oh, I'm going to look her up. And I learned a lot that day.
Now I want to look her up.
Yeah, because Belladonna, I think it comes from an actual term about having big pupils. Because, I don't know, a lot of it, you're supposed to be, like, more sexual and shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if when you're turned on, your pupils get large.
Yeah, that's, like, if you see someone that you're attracted to or if you're, like, just see something that's really cute, I guess your pupils dilate. I don't know. But that's not why it is. Like, that's not me. I'm not just, like, turned on all the time.
Yeah.
That'd be really weird.
You're like at the grocery store and the cashier, you're like, hey, baby.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
The cop, they're like, ooh, I'm not giving her a ticket. They're like, no, this is just, I swear, I'm not trying to be sexual to get out of a ticket.
No. But yeah, so that's one of the physical things.
For your anxiety.
Yeah. And then also, my heart rate is unreal.
Always?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just waiting for my heart to explode one of these days because I think resting a lot of the times it's upper like high 90s or 100.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
How is it right now? It must be really high right now.
Yeah, it's probably like around 100, 105.
I don't
maybe.
Want you to die.
I know. I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine. Yeah. You're young enough where I don't have to worry about it. But if you were like maybe 30 years older, I'd be like, I don't know if I want you on my podcast because you might, might croak, which would not be fun.
That, my hands, they're always... My hands.
Clammy.
They're always clammy. So I hate shaking hands.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think it's like I'm a germaphobe, but it's like, no, I'm just self-conscious.
Feel my sweat. Yeah. You can just be like, oh, sorry, I just washed my hands. I just got out of the bathroom.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
I don't think of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Don't judge me.
So when you're not feeling anxious is that, well, first of all, are you ever not feeling anxious?
If I'm really depressed.
Because you just feel dead.
Yeah.
So you're either super duper anxious or dead.
Yeah.
Which are not two fun states to be in. I don't know the difference between having energy and having anxiety.
Oh, it's so, yeah, it's different.
I genuinely don't know the difference.
Like, what do you mean? Like, for you?
If I have energy.
Yeah.
It's almost driven by anxiety.
Oh.
So I never just have energy. Just like, oh, I just got to get out some energy and have fun.
Okay.
My energy is always tied into having anxiety. So when I have anxiety, I feel like I have more energy. So it's never, so my experience with having energy is never a pleasant experience.
Interesting.
It's always I have anxiety experience. My antidepressant, I realized, was helping a lot with my anxiety because I wasn't having a constant state of butterflies. I'm back to having a constant state of butterflies.
Yeah, we both weaned off of antidepressants, I think, at like the same time too.
Yeah. So are you off yours completely now?
I am.
So you're not on Prozac?
Yeah, because I've been on medications on and off, honestly, since I was like 12.
Wow.
Yeah, which is...
I was on like Flintstones vitamins when I was 12.
Yeah, I started...
I thought that was the hard stuff.
Zoloft when I was 12.
Wow.
And since then, I tried various medications. So I don't necessarily suggest that.
Has your psychiatrist not put you on bipolar meds yet?
She hasn't put me on anything yet, okay. Which I respect. Because she really just kind of wants to get to know who I am, not on a medication.
Yeah.
Because that's who I really am. And so every time I've seen a psychiatrist, I'm on an antidepressant. Or one time I was on a mood stabilizer.
It's like a guy seeing a girl with makeup.
Yeah, I want to see you for who you are.
Right, exactly. Take beautiful. It off. Let's get to know really you. And then you can put the makeup back on when, you know. But I want to see you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anxiety, it feels like static. It's like there's just like always static covering you. And sometimes that static can be triggered and turn into like a horrible shock, like electricity, which then turns into like a panic attack.
Do you ever feel with your anxiety like an impending doom? Or just like a general, just staticky feeling?
Yeah, like impending doom is is very gloomy thing. I feel like, I don't know if I do, like impending doom. It's more just fear. Like I'm very, I think my mom once tried to describe me to someone and she was like, she's basically a squirrel, you know? Just think of her as a squirrel.
Okay,
just like I'm just, I have that anxious energy and, you know, I'm always looking around because I feel like, I don't know, I'm about to be attacked by some predator.
Did you ever have like a history of that happening or anything?
No.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's why
it, you don't want to manifest it. So stop thinking about
it. No, like I know it's, you know, you'd think I would have had some really traumatic experience, but I've always been like this.
Yeah.
Like from literally 6 months old.
Did you have a decent childhood?
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. So mom and dad were great, brother supportive. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a really small town and it was one of those weird towns where it was like you're either really wealthy or completely not.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't one of the wealthy kids and it was just a lot of cookie cutter like people, and if you didn't fit into that mix, you were just kind of ostracized.
So did you always feel like an outcast?
Yeah, like even with my own friends sometimes, and like I hope none of them hear this and they're like, wow, what a bitch. But no, because I always felt weird, like, and sometimes I'd be like, am I just like an alien because people aren't necessarily understanding me or they think my ideas are weird? And that is part of, I think, autism.
Okay, yeah, which is what I want to talk about too.
That was a good segue.
Yeah, it was a very good segue, very smooth.
Oh, but I did want to go back to the anxiety, the physical aspect is why my psychiatrist thought it might be like bipolar 2 hypomania, because she was saying that hypomania can be more physical than anxiety, but I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know enough about, I always thought generalized anxiety could be really physical, so
that I don't know how to experience anxiety without it being physical.
Yeah.
My heart, yesterday I had extreme anxiety and I called my mom and talked to her, and normally I don't call my mom when I have anxiety because I'm feeling like on edge and not really
Do you cry?
I
cry a lot.
I have, but usually when I have anxiety, no, I don't cry. I if I'm feeling depressed, then I will. And I broke my non-cry thing last night because of my dog. I'm having an issue with my dog. I haven't cried in so long. It's been weird. I've just been shut off.
Oh, yeah. You were saying after the antidepressants, you have a hard time?
Like, yeah, crazy. It's so weird. I've gone completely numb. It's like I feel things,
that's
but
like
I don't feel
of
things.
What it should be.
I know. And when I was on antidepressants, I was crying and being normal. So it's a weird, I don't know if I don't know. But anyway, last night I broke my streak and I cried for the first time.
Did it feel good?
It felt really good.
Good.
So good. I actually took a picture of the tears.
Aww.
I did it.
You should have captured the tear in a little bottle.
Yeah. Like, oh, I know.
My first tear and
embarrassing.
This many days.
Embarrassing off topic a little bit with the tear, catching the tears. I'm
I
a lot
feel
older.
Like this
than,
is going to be cute.
It's cute, but I'm way older than you. So it's not going to be cute because it's just going to show how much older I am than you.
Okay.
But I saw the movie Titanic when I was like 14. I loved it so much. I went to see it a million times, but I saved my tissues that I cried into and I put them in a plastic baggie and I still have them in my special
what?
Box at home and it says Tears of Titanic.
Mm-hmm. That's I don't even have words for that. Like, is it cute? Is it hilarious?
Is it? I
don't
know what it is.
That's just super sentimental though, so I do kind of respect it.
Yeah, and I'll never be able to throw it away. It was such a special, like, it just, when you're a kid and you're feeling so many different emotions and they hit you like that, it's like you're just such a baby and it's like you're learning how to feel and like have empathy and all that stuff. And so that's like what my little tissues are. I wonder what they smell like now though. Probably horrifying.
Probably just tissues.
Maybe, yeah. They're in a plastic bag,
like
so it's
tears,
not like the smells can really get out.
Do they corrode?
Right, that's a good question. Mine do because I'm so toxic inside.
Oh,
I'm just crying out acid,
it
essentially.
Just burns.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the autism stuff.
Yeah.
Something interesting that I was reading last night was that autism in girls is often not diagnosed.
Yes.
Or misdiagnosed as something else because, and here's the funny part, because the behavior of a young girl with autism is more similar to a young boy without autism, which says a lot about young boys.
Interesting. From what I've read and from my own personal experience with it, women are typically socially a little better off and they can communicate really well because we typically mimic. And so like we have, like if we hang out with people or we watch someone on TV that we really like, we listen to how they talk and we're like, okay, that person's doing all right.
Yeah.
I like that. And then
unless you're watching like Chris Farley from SNL or something and you're like, there's a van down by the river.
So
like, why is she saying that? You're like, but that's how they talk. People talk.
No. Well, that could be,
but you learn.
But
yeah, no,
honestly, no, but that could actually be in a thing though. Cause sometimes we do kind of script things and they can be really nonsensical.
I would have zero idea that you have quote unquote autism. I'm not saying quote unquote to disrespect it or anything, but I don't know what the signs would be to look for.
Oh, okay.
But
I like that you added that.
Yeah. Cause it's like, it's someone else who knows autism really well might notice, but to the untrained eye, mine with smaller pupils would not say, oh yeah, she definitely has autism or even Asperger's.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I don't even know the stats of like who's considered. Okay. And this is controversial too, like among the autistic community, especially on Tumblr. The terms high functioning and low functioning can get to people because they think it's like demeaning if you call someone low functioning.
Everyone thinks everything's demeaning.
I know, but it's like at the same time, there is a difference between like, I'm considered high functioning because I'm living pretty productively. I'm going to school, I'm studying, I'm going to work. I can communicate with people, but like if you are nonverbal and you're having a lot of issues, just
obviously it's very
managing,
different than
then
what
that
you're
is,
going through.
Yeah, then that's like considered low functioning.
Right. And it is low functioning because functioning involves doing things.
Yeah.
And that if you're low functioning, you're not doing those things. So
and that just comes
at a lower level. But there's nothing derogatory about saying low functioning. It's just a way to describe a level that you're at on a spectrum. And you were saying before we were taping about the spectrum, and you were saying you want to talk about the actual spectrum of it.
Well, yeah, because it's really individual, and I feel like it can be kind of different for everyone. And it is such a confusing thing, and especially now that they've gotten rid of the term Asperger's,
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Good, because that name is the worst name.
I know.
In
like
the world.
I know.
It's like as if it's not hard enough as it is to have Asperger's, you're then calling it Asperger.
Yeah. That is rough.
And a long, long, long time ago, the first time I'd ever heard of Asperger's.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to spell it. And I literally, I was
so
like,
just wrote
I don't,
Asperger's.
I wrote Asperger's.
What else?
Just to find what the correct, I knew it wasn't going to be Asperger's, but I was like, well, this will narrow it down to whatever it is. But
some
good jokes
people
around
it. We'll still continue to just use the term though, because they're defiant and they like it.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, like it takes a long time for those kind of things to catch on.
Well, yeah, especially if that's been your identity for a long time, and they're like, "Just kidding, that's not you anymore."
So you have with your autism, what is it affecting? Because I really don't see anything.
Oh, geez, that's a large question. Because
you seem good with eye contact.
Yeah,
and
I'm
good
trying.
With words. I feel like sometimes, not that I have Asperger's, I'm not saying that I have Asperger's, but I've noticed I sometimes have a hard time making eye contact.
Yeah, it's
once it gets in my head
sometimes,
then it's over. If I realize I'm making eye contact with someone in a weird way, now I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah.
I'll be like looking over
here,
I
know.
Looking over there. It's almost like when you think about blinking though, so it's I'm not saying that I have Asperger's, but I do have issues sometimes when I look people in the eye and then realize I'm doing it, and then I'll stop and get in my head about it.
Okay. Yeah, no, eye contact is, I'm pretty good about it, but at the same time, most of the time, I try not to make eye contact. It just, like, it's weird, like, it actually just kind of hurts.
I know what you mean.
Weird way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like psychosomatic pain.
Does it feel too connecty?
No.
Like you're connecting too much to the other person, or there's too much intimacy?
Ooh, interesting.
Sometimes that's why I get uncomfortable with eye contact.
No, it's more like I just like it's yeah, okay, I guess intimacy, because like then I'm really looking at you and you're really listening to me, and then I'm more self-conscious, and I just
you
don't
can
like
get
it
into your head. And
unless you just have like really pretty eyes, and you do have really nice eyes too.
Oh,
so like that's also part of it. But yeah, so how I usually explain being on the spectrum to someone for me is like the biggest thing. Life is just really loud. I think loud is a good word for it.
Sensory overload.
Yes.
There's a billboard or benches that say something.
Is
like,
that a thing?
There,
do people use
here.
That term?
Well, it says autism. So it said something like a symptom or whatever of autism is often sensory overload.
Mm-hmm.
And the billboard or the sign on the bench, it's usually I've seen it on benches, is written in a way that would totally give someone with autism crazy amounts of sensory overload. And so I get what they were trying to do with the advertisement.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if someone with autism looks at it, they're like, fuck, god damn it. it's kind of rude. I'm like, couldn't you have written that in like the simplest text? Instead it's all curvy and there's a bunch of weird like designs and
okay.
So it's like, I guess,
well, I'm not that sensitive, I don't think.
But
although that's a lie. Like I'll look at a painting, and if it's like upsetting me, like if it's just a sad painting, like I feel things on another level.
I see.
So everything is very loud. My feelings are very loud. Everything.
It's all
like,
heightened.
How I hear. Yeah, it's all heightened.
So I must be so funny because my comedy's down here.
Oh my God.
But since everything's heightened, I am way up here.
Totally.
Yeah. I want to have a crowd of autistic people come to see a stand-up show.
Yo,
because
that
like,
could
she
go
is so
really
funny
well, but
it's all heightened.
But dude, like I feel like a lot of times we tend to speak our minds though. So if we don't like it,
heckling.
Yeah, we might heckle.
Wow, a bunch of hecklers. Huh?
I don't know. I mean, that's just a speculation. I personally do not heckle. I'm a really good audience member.
When were you diagnosed with autism?
Okay, so yeah, I was actually one of the women who was late diagnosed.
How old?
18.
Yeah, that's really late.
Because it was after my visit in the hospital. I was at school and then I came home because I couldn't finish the semester. And I was doing some real soul searching, you know, I was digging deep.
Yeah.
And somehow I don't remember exactly how I stumbled upon reading something about women with autism. But I found a chart, which you could probably just find online, honestly, if you just type in women with autism chart, and it'll literally be there. I think that's how I found it before.
And so you were kind of diagnosing yourself?
Yeah. And self-diagnosis is another actual thing, and it's a controversy because a lot of people will do it, but at the same time, if you...
I'd have everything if it was up to self-diagnosis.
Yeah, but sometimes, because it is really hard to get the diagnosis. Yeah. Like, I had to find I don't know if he was, I think he was a psychiatrist, but he had a specialty, like, in this. Like, he's a really well-known person, I guess, in the community.
Yeah.
So I had to go to him, and then he would accept, like, certain cases, and then, he, oh, wow. you know, it would be a few days of him. It felt like just him interrogating me, but it was really just him
yeah.
learning about me. And then I had to take, like, an IQ test as well as other tests. Like, there's an actual test, which is just mind-blowing to me. And at the end of it, he's like, yeah, you are considered to be on the spectrum. We would consider you high-functioning. And it's also termed maybe mild. You might have not assumed I had autism because in the way it's portrayed a lot of the times in movies like Rain Man or like it's The Good Doctor, that's a show that's out, or like the Sheldon Cooper type. Like they're super geniuses and they have these crazy special interests and it's like it's just obvious because they have such loud stims that they do. Mm-hmm. And stimming, do you know? Stimming
I have
like
no idea.
Yeah, a stim is a term. It's I consider it fidgeting, like we have certain things that we do to make ourselves feel more comfortable. Like for me, I have this one thing I do with my hair. Like there's this one patch in the back of my head that I just play with a lot.
Yeah.
And I have rings that I fiddle with and happy flaps. Like so.
Is that what they call vaginas? What's a happy flap?
No, a happy flap or a scared flap. I do it when I'm really scared uh-huh. or really happy. I like it's like your hands and you just like. You flap them.
Oh.
Yeah, it's I know. I try. And that's also a thing. I don't stim a lot because people will look at you and just, like, judge you for it.
Yeah. Can you ever get better? Can you ever come out of autism?
Ooh. No. It's just, I look at it as a way of being, which is such a
yeah
funny term. It's like Buddhism. It's a way of right. life.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can see that for sure.
No, because it's just, it's how I view the world. I feel like it's just a little different. Someone had once described it as living life in a fishbowl, which I thought was really neat because yeah. I feel that because I feel like I see things in a very distorted view and everything is honestly really trippy. Like, okay. like life is just constantly kind of a trip for me.
Yeah.
Which is why I haven't tried shrooms or
something
like that.
I was gonna say, what would happen if you tried?
Yeah,
would it be overload?
Even weed like can get really psychedelic for me really quickly. Wow. So I try not to.
Yeah.
Because I get paranoid real fast.
You said before we started taping, I was like, do you want anything to drink? Do you want alcohol? You know, I kind of threw that yeah. out there. So you do drink occasionally. Yeah. I'm sure you're not.
Yeah, it calms me
pouring
down.
Them up.
Yeah. It like lowers my, not my defenses. It's yeah. horrible. I'm trying to think of the right terms, but it
yeah,
makes me less self-conscious. And so I'm not thinking about it.
Take your guard
as much.
Down a little bit or
yes.
you lose your inhibitions a little.
Yeah. For me, life is just really, yeah, it's just loud. So I'm really sensitive to things. Tactile stuff. I've really worked hard on that. I used to be, oh my God, I'm sorry, Mom. I was so hard to deal with as a kid.
Cause she couldn't touch you?
Well, yeah, she couldn't, but like, oh my God, even my neighbor Brie will remember this. Like just putting on a sock was the challenge of the day or the challenge
would
of the morning.
Would you fight her?
No, I just, I could not. My sock had to be perfect.
Just right.
It had to be inside out.
Inside out?
Inside out. Because
it's too frictiony on the inside?
Too frictiony and the way it's
too
sewn.
Too much texture?
The way it's sewn mm-hmm. on the top. Is this? This might have been a scene in Rain Man where he's talking about the socks being made wrong, which is true.
Well, I know he has like certain underwear he wants from Kmart.
Yeah, I have certain clothes that I like. There's certain textures that I really hate.
What about sounds like I can't stand when someone cuts onto a plate and it's like the fork and knife against
yeah.
porcelain of the plate? That sends me through. It's just the same as like nails on a chalkboard, which would send anyone through the roof. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, there's
are
certain
sounds like that. That
yeah.
Sound of my voice.
Yeah, the sound, it's piercing right now. Oh my God.
I'm assuming. Yeah.
I'm triggered. No. Yeah, certain sounds. It's typically funny if it's quiet and then I hear one sound, then that one sound gets stuck in my head and it's like on replay.
Good thing we didn't tape in the garage.
Well, crickets are just crickets. A nice background, though.
Yeah, but I don't think people listening
would want to hear. I associate crickets with a nice thing.
It is. It's like a nice sleep yeah. sound. But yeah. to do a podcast with, not so great.
But that's the thing. Okay. So certain things, so there's hyposensitivity and hypersensitivity. But sometimes that makes things so fucking amazing.
Right.
Like, because...
I feel like sex would be great.
Yeah, exactly. There's certain things that are just so awesome. Like, there could be one sound or just one moment and it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And you're just so happy in that moment.
Yeah. When I listen to music, I don't do this often, but occasionally I remember to mm-hmm. listen. So if it's a beautiful song and you're just listening to the general song as a whole, it's beautiful. But then all of a sudden I'll remember to pick out one instrument from that song and focus just on that instrument, mm-hmm. whether it's like a violin or a piano. And you actually hear how much of a job it's doing and how beautiful it is.
Yes.
And it's heightened. It's all of a sudden that's the only instrument you can hear. Yeah. And it's a fun thing to do. But I can equate that to
that.
The heightenedness that you're hearing. It's like everything is just more vibrant. In terms of depression, what did that do to you mentally with the when you found out you had autism? Did that send you into depression? Do you feel like it gives you more depression or less, or does it affect it at all?
Yeah, so it's tricky. I think autism and depression, it's hard to link because I feel like it can differ, and depression, like, as I think we both know, can be a very biochemical thing and it's just a part of who you are, or it can be situational and it can be environmental. So I think growing up, it's hard to say, but I feel like maybe some of my depression was from feeling so alienated and feeling like I wasn't connected with the world or with people because I just felt so misunderstood.
Yeah. And at that point, you hadn't been diagnosed. So you couldn't have said, well, this is why I might just not relate with people.
Yeah.
Then you just think maybe you're weird, or you're just not even weird. It's just like hopelessness. Like, I will just never find anyone that I'll relate
weird
with.
People say that.
You don't seem weird. I mean, you seem like, you seem quirky.
Yeah.
But not.
That's
like
a nice term
weird,
for
quirky.
Weird, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But also not weird, quirky. Actually, someone left a bad comment on that podcast recently. And
who?
They said,
oh, my God.
I don't know.
God.
Let's stalk him.
Ruin him.
Seriously.
No, I'm kidding.
But he said something about how I think I'm really quirky.
Funny.
She just like loves how quirky she is. Like, I'm not fucking quirky. Do you see how I'm dressed right now? There's zero quirk to me. I feel
like quirky is a word that's thrown at women a lot.
Yeah, it's like women who aren't just typical.
If you're slightly
women.
Cute, it's like, oh, she's fun. She's quirky.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You have to do like a little shimmy when you say that. She's quirky.
I did do a shimmy when I said that.
So I understand the not fitting in, but I've never felt like I'm necessarily quirky. I don't feel like I'm like everyone else, but I don't think I'm quirky.
Well, yeah.
I think I'm a little neurotic, and I feel like
I
feel like a 65-year-old man. So if that's quirky, then I guess I'm quirky.
Oh, okay. That is actually interesting you say that. A lot of people would just tell me I seemed very old.
Like, yeah, you seem like an old soul.
Thank you.
Do they mean old in age or old in soul?
Both.
It's a compliment.
Because I didn't like to have any fun. That's what it was. Because I was talking about how I wasn't looking forward to prom. And I was like, can I just be a chaperone?
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's what she was making fun of it.
I'm glad that you said that. Today I posted this kind of long thing.
Oh, I didn't look. I'm sorry.
Oh, you don't have to. How could you not
I do
watch
follow
my
you,
Snapchat?
Though.
I basically said what I was saying here because I muted the volume. Is not to trust people who look like they're always having so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're lying.
Yeah.
If they're not lying and actually having that much fun, they're not smart enough to know how to have a bad time or to know or to accept it's okay to not always have fun.
Yeah.
And I hate the extent that it affects people. And so I just had to say that today. I hate that people who aren't the type to need to have fun all the time feeling insecure about who they are because they don't want to have fun or they don't feel the need to go on spring break and like twerk, you know. It's like not everyone
twerking.
Recently I was looking up some spring break stuff because I'm writing this thing, and I came across like, you know, a gajillion horrifying spring break videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I never was a spring break type. I never desired that. And I was looking at it with two perspectives. One perspective is that I'm really grateful that I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other perspective is I'm really bummed because these people look like they're actually having fun And I just wish that I could have fun that easily.
Yeah.
It takes so much for me to have fun. Like I was saying the other day, like for me to have fun, you know, toilets that you have to hold the handle down for a long time for them to flush.
Yes.
That's basically me having fun. Like I need so much for me to actually get to the point where I'm like, okay, now I'm having fun. It takes so much energy, and especially on the other person's part, if I'm with someone, you know, they have to hold my handle down so long until I flush.
Okay. Well, could that be part of the depression?
Definitely part of the depression, but I've been like that my entire life. So I think it's a personality thing as well.
Okay.
But in college, when I first became depressed, that's when it became really apparent that I wasn't into fun, because it's college. St. Patrick's Day, I remember every St. Patrick's Day, all of my friends would wear green and they'd paint the shirts like our group of friends or whatever. And I never once did that.
Yo,
I was like, get out of here with this. No.
One of my best friends to this day, we became friends because we met. Okay. It was at a pep rally, but it was for orientation at our college. So we had to go. And we became friends because we could see it in each other's eyes how much we hated being there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we became friends because of our apathy.
Yeah, that's funny. Very similar story. My best friend from college, Maria, we met orientation, pep rally.
Really?
I swear to God.
Oh my God.
And she was wearing, because I remember all the other girls and everyone just looked like they were like, and I just was like, this is not my thing.
I like my hoodie.
And she was with two dudes, and she was wearing a t-shirt from like Salvation Army or whatever.
Solid.
And I was like,
it was cool.
I like her. And we became best friends. Anyway, so I consider that fun. I don't consider the orientation games.
I like goofy shit.
Yeah.
That's what I consider to be fun.
Yeah. I think that's very common among people like us. I don't know if I should say us because you have autism and I'm not.
I'm still a person. I'm still with you.
Okay, good. Okay. I know. I'm like, you.
No, and that's,
not
no, that's the thing though. Like a lot of, like, it kind of changes. Like, and I don't usually tell a lot of people I am on the spectrum because once they hear that, it's kind of like they look at you differently and they start to look for it.
Right.
And they're like, okay, well, like, what's she doing now that's really autistic obviously?
Well, the real reason I didn't want to say
us
is because I don't want people to think I'm now diagnosing myself or something.
Oh.
Yeah, but I totally know what you mean.
Yeah, try not to self-diagnose, but like if you really just, I don't know, if you're experiencing problems, go try to find a psychiatrist, I guess, even though that's easier said than done because they are really expensive and hard to find.
Yeah, you have to do a lot of searching for the right one and for how you pay for it, and also
that's
like
so hard, and to find a good one. Like I was so messed up from other horrible psychiatrists who were just, they were trying to, one of them actually told me she didn't have much time for me because she was trying to expand her business.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is,
it's like you're dealing with little, like, we're basically, do you know what a Fabergé egg is?
Yeah, they're really delicate.
Yes. And so it's like, when you're a psychiatrist, all of your patients are little Fabergé eggs.
Yes.
And if they don't treat you as such, they can really mess you up and you are no longer a Fabergé egg. You're a splat egg on the ground.
Yeah.
And your yolk is all over the place. Yeah. Before we get to segments, I also wanted to talk about the mental hospital stay a little bit more.
Yeah.
So did you guys sleep at night in individual rooms, or is it bunks?
No, it was like, it felt like it was designed almost like a college dorm room.
Okay.
But just hospital themed.
Right.
Like,
so you had a roommate?
I did. Yeah, I always had a roommate. My first roommate left after the first night, and then I had another woman. She was just probably in her 40s, really anxious to the point where I was just constantly ticking about things, like checking things constantly.
See, it's almost like that could make you worse. I think
she needed the supervision because otherwise she would have done
something. But it's almost like, that's why I think like separate rooms might be helpful, or if you're paired totally with people that are exactly in your,
okay,
in your realm.
I could see that, but maybe that has to do with the quality of a place you're staying with, funding. Like, it's cheaper to have two people in a room together.
Totally. And do they wake you up in the morning?
There are
checks.
Yeah, so there are checks every 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Yeah, they're checks.
Holy
they don't
hell.
Wake you up every 15 minutes,
right,
but they do check to make sure that you're there. And like
15 minutes. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dedication. I'd be like, well,
Yeah, like I think one time I was in the bathroom during a check and they're like, check. And I'm like, I'm just peeing. And they're like, I got to see you. Wow. So I'm like, okay, let me finish up. And they had to look at me because I had been self-harming and they had to make sure that I wasn't doing that again. Because.
And so they check objects and stuff like that. So it sounds a little bit like a friendly prison.
Yeah, honestly, though, like you're not allowed to have your phone for obvious reasons.
Yeah, which is why I should go to one just to have a break from my phone.
Yeah,
because I'm never going to do it on my own.
It's expensive.
That's the other thing I wanted to talk about was cost. But one second, we'll get to that.
So yeah, like when you I was admitted. I ended up at the hospital on a morning. Oh my god, it's actually crazy how I ended up like surviving. Do you want me to talk about that?
Like the story of how. You can talk about whatever you want to talk
about. Yeah, like, I don't want it to be, like, too triggering. Because, you know, I know your listeners definitely do suffer from serious things. But I ended up basically surviving because I had a plan. And I was about to follow through with it. Because my roommate had a club meeting. But this was a really rough winter in Boston. And because of the snow conditions, her meeting was canceled. So after she left, within a couple minutes, she said she was coming back. So I knew I wouldn't have the 2 hours to do it.
Okay. So, and you're obviously talking about suicide.
Yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't have had enough time.
Yeah.
With my specific plan.
Good thing her meeting was canceled.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's crazy how, like, a blizzard. Like, actually. Yeah, it was, like, great timing.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, I ended up at the hospital.
And you put yourself there?
Yeah.
Or did you tell someone and then they were like, you should go?
Yeah, this is where it gets kind of fuzzy. I think I blocked it out, but I ended up at the PCC, is what they called it. It was like the psychological counseling center. And I just ended up walking there and I sat down in an appointment and I was like, hey, I want to kill myself. So I don't know what to do because I want to, but at the same time, I know I probably shouldn't because I know people do really love me and that's, oh my God, okay. There's one thing I want to say today. It is that suicide is not selfish.
It's not selfish?
No. Like, if you've been there, you don't want to do it necessarily. And I know this is a tricky subject, so I will make it quick.
No, go for it. This is what the show's for.
Yeah. You feel like you're a burden more than anything.
Right.
And it's not that no one else can help you, like, because it's no one else's fault. And you know that. But you're just in such a horrible state. You think it'd be better for everyone.
Right. So in the person's perspective, it's not selfish.
Yes.
I know. I absolutely know what you mean. Because and also the pain is that great.
Yeah.
That. Those thoughts.
Also, I was delusional. So,
well, yeah, it does become a delusional thing because when you're in that state of mind, you're not thinking clearly, but those thoughts are your thoughts. And so they're reality for you.
Yeah.
So your pain is so great that that's the last thing you're worrying about in terms of like, oh no, is this person going to be like when Stevie took her life?
Yeah.
I know she wasn't thinking, oh, I have to leave Kristen with her podcast because her pain was at.
Not or with necessarily.
It could have crossed her mind briefly, but her pain was that great and at that height. Helping someone continue a podcast is not, you know, it was like a piece of sand in like the span of everything.
I did think about a lot of the people I would be leaving and that was the hardest part. And maybe that's what makes me an exception and why I didn't succeed.
Yeah.
Because I did think about people I would have left, like even just minor relationships I had.
Yeah.
I would have. Thought about
but
doing that.
When you're saying it isn't selfish, I can't totally agree with that.
Okay.
Because the pain that you're going to cause other people is so great that it's almost like for example, how I can put this.
Okay, so it can be considered selfish, but at the time they're not looking at it being selfish. Right. They think it's selfless. They think they're helping the others because they're like, well, they'll just do better without me.
Right. Right.
So which isn't true.
No, not at all.
But they can't see that.
Yeah.
I couldn't see that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I could never, ever, 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 ever do that with... Oh, this is how I was going to equate it. So I have this psycho dog. You just saw him be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He is very difficult to handle. And he has severe mental problems on top of, I think, getting old and becoming, like, getting dementia and stuff. So basically, it would hurt me more to get rid of him or to put him down than it would be to live... with him the way he is now. So basically, it would be harder for me.
It's like giving up on him.
Yeah. And I couldn't, it's hard to live with him every single day the way he is, but it would be harder to live with myself knowing I just threw him away.
Okay.
And so the thing, so how I'll equate that to suicide.
Is you can equate him to life?
Yeah. So it's like, say I was in that state where it was so hard for me to live.
Yeah.
My soul would hurt more because of what I did to my family than if I just stuck it out.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I can't justify it as much as I want to get rid of this animal because he's literally like ruining my life. I can't because it just hurts that much to know that I did that to him.
I think that's a really healthy perspective, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, like that's good. Keep thinking that.
Yeah. That's how I explain people when they're.
Because if you can think that if you are suicidal, then yeah, that's a reason not to go through with it. Like, right. So when I said it's not selfish, like you're not thinking of it as being it.
Yeah.
But at the same time. You're totally not out to be selfish when you're doing it.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I agree.
The thing that you wanted to talk about, what was it?
The Korean spa.
Oh, the Korean spa. So you went to a Korean spa, which you get naked at.
Yeah. It was a crazy. It was awesome.
It was freeing.
It was so freeing. Yeah. I think I said to you, like, it was the most feminine I'd ever felt.
Yeah. Well, why? Just so for people. I think the reason I want to talk about it real quick on the show is because it's like, something to do to maybe help yourself get through a day, or you know, if you live near somewhere where there's a Korean spa and you're feeling really, really down,
go to that.
You can go. Like, this is a little mini therapy session. Yeah. You know? So it's like putting it out there. It's like, hey, if you're feeling bad, go do this.
Yeah, I went with one of my friends, and yeah, she's one of the friends. Like, you can be naked with her, I guess.
Yeah, like, yeah. So basically, if you guys don't know what a Korean spa is, it's essentially a place where you go and get naked.
I mean, you could technically wear a robe, but I mean, there's like saunas and pools and
everyone's
like, it's like a bathhouse.
Yeah. If you're clothed, you're the weird one.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to do it naked, and men and women are separate. So you're not like seeing dongs if you're a woman.
Different floors in this one.
The what?
It was different floors.
Right. Yeah. Did you go to Wii Spa?
Yeah. Yeah, oh my God. It was awesome. Yeah.
So here's the deal with my thoughts on the Korean spa. I enjoyed it. It was very freeing because I am a very self-conscious person. I didn't grow up in a naked house. You know, I never saw my mom naked.
Yeah.
You know, it was not like a flaunty house. We didn't flaunt our bodies, nothing like that. So I've always been super self-conscious, like going to the gym and changing the locker room.
Yeah.
And what I got out of the Korean spa was that now when I'm at the gym and I'm going to go shower, which I don't do all the time at the gym, but if I'm going to, I am okay getting naked first and then putting the towel around. I don't have to have the towel up and then I pull my underwear down and then the bra, you know. So it's like a liberating experience.
It's so liberating.
The part that I didn't like about it was that, so there's seats in front of, so you can shower there. So it's a room with like a hot tub, like a super extra hot tub, a cold pool.
Like you had the shower stalls where you could stand or the ones you could sit down handheld shower.
Yeah, so there's a sit down shower. What I didn't love, and I'm not a germaphobe, I'm not afraid of like people's bodies for the most part, but the sit down, it's a like a seat with a
plastic
seat with the part in the center that rises up. So it almost goes into your vagina a little bit, slightly, like it rises up to your butt. So it's got like a little groove.
So if someone else's vagina has been on it, then it'll.
Yeah. So women are just like,
I put a towel on it.
But women
did that.
I did too. I couldn't, but I was watching and the most of the women there that you can tell they do this normally, they just sit their vagina down on the seat and then get up and another woman comes and just like sits on the seat. And so it's like a lot of vagina sharing.
Yeah.
So that's wasn't my favorite part, but I did learn to be comfortable naked.
Yeah. And just in your own body, like you can keep it how you want. Like,
yeah, like there's huge bush. There's no bush.
Exactly.
There's tiny boobs. There's big boobs.
Exactly. Like, and I have a huge scar on my hip. Which a lot of people have been staring at it, but I was like, yeah, but this is my scar.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Yeah. You can own who you are, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's end on that and then we'll get into the segments. So I'll do FDAT shit first, which is, this is kind of crazy.
Shit.
So FDIS shit, there's a Greyhound therapy crisis. So basically what that means.
Yeah, explain.
Is it's crazy that this is happening. I'm going to read the article a little bit just so it's clear. When a schizophrenic man disembarked from a Greyhound bus in Sacramento, California, he had been placed on the bus by a Las Vegas psychiatric hospital and was told to call 911 when he arrived. The Sacramento Bee newspaper uncovered that he was just one of possibly 1,500 patients a Las Vegas hospital had shipped off. Patients were sent to nearly every state across the country, often landing in places they had never, ever been without any support.
They were just told, like, hey, go find this hospital.
No, not even go get on this bus and go. Just go somewhere.
And hope that they will check themselves in.
No, there's no.
They were just told to leave?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They didn't have any instructions.
Zero. So it's a practice commonly known now as, quote unquote, Greyhound therapy. So getting on a Greyhound bus to, like, nowhere. It's really, really crazy.
F that shit, indeed.
Yeah. Greyhound therapy or patient dumping. And yeah. So there's a documentary series on AXS TV. Dan Rather presents A One-Way Ticket to Nowhere. So you guys can check that out. Anyway, obviously the article goes on and on, but isn't that insane?
Yeah. I don't follow. Like, I can't even. I don't get it.
It's mostly, I don't know if it's mostly Nevada, but this article focuses on Nevada.
Yeah.
And
oh my God. Yeah, there's so many things to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like insurance not covering things. Oh my God.
Right.
I wish we had like 8 hours to talk about this.
I know. Well, with the mental hospital, did they charge? Did they send you a bill? Did you have insurance?
It was insurance, but insurance, like, I was kind of lucky. I only stayed for the 72 hours because my insurance actually was known to cut visits.
Wow.
Like, yeah. They would just deem a person ready to leave when they clearly were not. And then there were actually a lot of really tragic stories about someone not surviving after.
Oh, I'm sure.
So.
I'm sure that's so common.
Yeah.
Ugh, gross. Okay.
Ooh, Freudian slips?
Freudian slips.
Heck
okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right. First word. Money.
Green.
OCD.
ACDC.
Hitler.
Fuck.
Okay, I think that's a good answer. Subway, the restaurant. And I shouldn't even say restaurant. Subway, the fast food subway.
Pedophile.
Pedophile. Oh yes. Oh duh. Abby. I forgot about him. Smart cars.
Crazy. Exciting, I guess. I don't know.
Do you know what the smart little car, tiny,
like,
ones?
Oh, those. Huh? I was thinking like self-driving cars.
Oh no.
Smart cars, death wish.
Yeah, exactly. Cleaning.
Organizing your thoughts.
Movies.
Amazing.
Public toilets.
Ugh.
Feet.
Also, nail polish, actually.
Shaving.
I hate it.
You hate shaving, yeah. Yeah. Shaving your toes.
I do it.
Me too. I need to just get, like, not that they're that hairy, but I need to get them waxed or something, or lasered, so I never have to shave my toes again, because when I do it, I just lose all dignity. I'm like, I'm shaving my toes.
Lasering is not all that's cracked up to be. I have tried it, though.
Doesn't work that great.
No, hair comes back after a while.
Does it?
Yeah.
Garbage cans.
Oliver.
Pooping.
Real relief.
Okay, last one. I'm making it up because I ran out of them and I want to do one more.
Cool.
Last one. Nipples.
Fun.
Okay, good answers. I feel like that really does. I mean, occasionally, I haven't done it that often, but I do feel like it reveals a decent amount from someone.
Yeah.
Like, nipples, fun. Okay. Feel like, okay, you're like a playful person.
I don't get naked that often, though. I feel like that's what it sounds like. When I was little, I would.
Yeah.
It was weird how much I just like took off my shirt. I'm like, I'm hot. And then I just take off my shirt.
Wow. Yeah. But for nipples, I think I would have said weird pepperoni.
Ooh.
Don't they look like pepperoni slices?
Are yours blotchy?
I guess I have a disease, maybe? No, mine aren't pepperonis.
Healthy?
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay,
no, it is true. You can infer a lot.
Yeah, you can. You really can. It's funny. Okay, well, thank you for doing the show.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
So open and honest. And I really do feel like we could keep going and going and going. Because there's
next time I come to LA.
You are a wealth of information because you have, because you're so fucked up. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But you have so many different things that you're experiencing from autism to depression to maybe bipolar to anxiety.
And, you know,
it's like you can speak on a lot, which people want to hear because I can only speak on so much, you know. So I'm glad to have someone like you on who can open up to some other things. And, you know.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, though.
That was the part of the show where I make you sad.
Oh, what?
No. Sometimes I just end up making people sad.
Whatever happened to the pep talk segment?
I know.
You were like, I can't do the pep talk.
I'm never in the zone to give the pep talk unless I actually recently, so with people on Patreon, if they donate like a certain amount, I'll, one of the perks they get is that we Skype and, Skype and talk. And I did a Skype session with a listener recently and, she actually made me really tear up a lot. Aww. And I gave her a really good pep talk. But it's like I was really in the zone and really like just feeling very emotional. If I'm not in the zone to give a pep talk, I'm like, fuck a pep talk.
Okay.
But you're awesome. And that's the pep talk I'll give. You're adorable. You're Thank smart. You have big pupils. So you're so friendly.
I see great at night.
Night vision. So
that's my superpower.
But you'll be okay. Don't ever doubt like your awesomeness.
Thanks.
So yeah, and I'm, you know, of course sorry for all the things that you've had to go through.
Yeah,
it's a bummer because you're such an amazing person. It would be a bummer for anybody, but you especially, because you seem so awesome.
You live and you learn.
Yeah, and you're so young, you have so much life ahead of you. You're gonna be great. Sweet. I swear.
So I appreciate
there's
that.
My awkward pep talk.
It wasn't awkward. I like that.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. And if you want to support the show, please do so and go to patreon.com/mentallychill. Anything helps. Anything is amazing. And plus, we're forming a community, which is pretty cool. Again,
so do it.
Yeah. Again, I'm usually anti-community, but since it's my community, I'm into it. So go to patreon.com/mentallychill and remember to rate and review. Please do that. It helps me a lot. And until then, remember, stay sad enough to listen, but not too sad. Mm. Bye, guys.